Oh, good evening, everybody. And I was thinking how wonderful it is to have all the new people. We welcome. So welcome those. There are quite a few. How many are here for the very first time? Yeah. Way back there. So good to have you. So good to have you. I've asked Vinay. I just feel I really want a special prayer covering. So if you just agree with her, she prays over me, and then we're going to get started this evening. Can I put my hands on you?
Can I put my hands on you?
Oh, yes. Please do. I need lots of hugs every day, you know.
Amen. I'm hugging
you. The birthday girl.
So, Father, I just come before you, and I thank you for tonight, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have already made a way. I thank you, Father, that you are in our midst right now. And Lord, I thank you for Mim. I thank you, Father, for the message that you have inside of her. It's going to come through. So I just ask, Abba, would you speak through her? She is your willing vessel, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you fill her from the top of her head all the way to the bottom of her feet? Father, that we would hear your voice and that we would see you manifest through this one tonight, and that we would receive everything that you have for each and every one of us, God, through her, through your willing vessel. And Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that your word is a sword through her mouth. Lord, I thank you that your word is going to pierce every single one of our hearts, Lord. And Lord, would you fill her up, Lord, with you. Fill her up more and more. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would fill her up. Every single drop that you have for Mim, Lord, tonight. And God, give us all ears to hear and a heart to receive what you have to say. Just thank you, Father, in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you.
Bless
thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Vinay. Well, today as I was preparing for tonight, I was praying. I was just meditating. And many times when I'm just quiet before the Lord, he starts speaking to me about things that I've asked him about earlier. And all through my spirit, my mind, I don't know where all it was, but there was a script, a little chorus based on scripture that kept popping into my being. I probably hadn't thought of this little chorus for, I don't know, 20 years, before many of you were born. I probably hadn't thought of it. But we used to sing lots of scripture songs that were put to scripture. And those have been just imprinted in my life, which shows the power of song as many things are set. In fact, I this is a little bird walk, but when I was heavily into the Song of Solomon, I memorized the first three chapters to the tune of Amazing Grace. And I could be driving down the street at the stoplight, and I'd be singing So the Song of Songs. I had a whole pack of little cards to kind of help me out and that just made the word so rich. So I went out and I said, Cindy, you remember this song that we used to sing? And I started telling her the words. If I sang it, it would be, God says, sing a new song. I sing a new song today. I creak my way through. I used to sing, but now I squeak. So I've asked Cindy and Sarah if they wouldn't lead us in this song, and it really forms, I didn't know what I was going to call this, whatever I'm sharing tonight, but It comes from the words of the song, "Behold, what manner of love." So, Cindy and Sarah, you take it away. Get into it. We'll sing it several times so that you'll go home tonight and you will have memorized 1 John 3:1. That's the reference for this scripture.
So basically, it's two lines. So all you have to know are two lines. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. So we do that twice. And then that we should be called the sons of God. So you're just quoting the first part of 1 John 3:1. And it matches up fairly close with the New King James Version. I really like the Passion Translation. But anyway, you're going to be singing scripture. And I can guarantee you, when you go home tonight, you're going to have this in your head. Because it's been in my head all afternoon. All right, Sarah.
Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. That we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God.
Let's do it again.
Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God, that we should be called the sons of God.
I want you to stand up. I want you to look at somebody and sing it to them. Ready? Yeah.
Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. That we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God.
All right, turn to somebody else.
Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God, that we should be called.
All right, I'm going to challenge the men. Here we go.
Behold what manner of love the Father.
Men. Can't hear you.
Manner of love the Father has given unto us.
Ladies, let's help him out.
We should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God.
You will have that in your heads the rest of the evening.
No, you're not done yet. You're not done. As you were singing that, He wants us to get into it again, and that we should be called the bride of Christ. There, okay. Hey.
Behold what manner of love the Father has given.
Turn to somebody.
Behold what manner of love the Father has given.
That we are brides of Christ.
That we are the bride of Christ. That we should be called the brides of Christ. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. That we should be called the brides of Christ. That we should be called the bride of Christ.
All right. Add another scripture to your memory repertoire. All right.
Oh,
Well, last Friday night when we met at the pavilion, there was such a beautiful spirit of sharing. The time of communion had a special meaning for me. You know, there are times when you really get into it and times you sort of set on automatic and just do what you've always done. And while the sharing was taking place, God was speaking to me about what we had last shared when we talked about, and that was that until we have dealt with the lies, they're still active in our lives, and we live according to what we believe. And then I got off into the scripture. I tell you the truth, I was in my treasure chest. Now, women have treasure chests. For those of you who don't know this teaching, we have treasure chests, and I've had 88 years to develop a treasure chest. That sucker's big, let me tell you. It is huge, and I go rummaging around in that treasure chest, and I might not come out till the next day. I find so much to bump into. Well, I was bumping into everything that night up at the pavilion, and I thought, God, are you showing me this stuff to share? And I just had a check about it, and so I just kept bumping and kept having fun in my treasure chest. And what I was thinking about was not the Song of Solomon. In treasure chest, you can move around. Nobody cares. You have that right, because that's what it's all about. So I was, after I sat on what we had talked about last time, which we haven't gotten out of verse 2. And, well, no, not verse 1. We probably won't tonight either. But it was kiss me with the kisses of your love. That cry that the maiden had for intimacy. Kiss me. Let him kiss me. In fact, that's significant. I misquoted. Let him kiss me. She's speaking to the Father to have her son kiss her with the kisses of his mouth. And it has nothing to do with physical. In fact, way, way back in Deuteronomy, it says, man does not live by bread alone. But by what? Every word which proceeds out of the mouth of God. And when she was asking for the kisses of his mouth, she was asking for deep communication, a very intimate thing, and asking the Father to do that through his son. But then, as we get into just a little phrase, the next phrase says, for your love is better than wine. Or your love is sweeter than wine. Or your love is more delightful than wine. You get 20 versions, you'll probably have 20 different descriptors there. She was saying, now she's speaking to him directly, and I can't get away from the importance of the position. You can't kiss with your back turned to the person, can you? Offenses and hurts and angers would have a lot to do with whether or not we could pray that prayer. Kiss me with the kisses of your mouth for your love. In Hebrews, it says loves. I like that. For your loves. Just speak out. What are some of his loves? His affectionate love. That's the first thing we think about when we think about kiss it with the kisses of his mouth. But what are his other loves? Sometimes they don't look like loves. Who? Conviction. Pardon? Conviction. Oh, that's love, isn't it? Yes, conviction. Mercy. Oh, thank God for his mercy. None of us would be here tonight. Grace. Pardon? Grace. Yes, grace. Love of grace. Somebody back here. Peace. many loves, many, 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 many different kinds of loves, forgiving love, accepting love, providing love, giving love, guiding love. I mean, we could go on and on. But this in the songs, it says, your loves, let's keep it plural, your loves are better than wine. Wine, just a simple for the greatest pleasures in life. That's one of the meanings of the wine. So she positioned herself to receive the communication from his mouth. No walls, no barriers. She positioned herself to receive. Well, I went from there. This takes skill, let me tell you. I went from the Song of Songs and some of what we were meditating on that night. And man, I landed on John 13. It was kind of a fast trip there for a little bit. But I landed on John 13, and I'm telling you, I got so overwhelmed with his love as I thought about that chapter. John 13 to 17 are the chapters where Jesus poured himself into the disciples before he went to the cross. They have just a great deal of meaning to me. But I'd like to read just the first, maybe the first verse. You notice we don't get a lot of brownie points for huge chunks of scripture at one time. He kind of has this camping and maybe even just a phrase. But the first part of John 13, it's a very, very, very familiar scripture to all of us. It's Passover night. 13:1, Jesus knew that the night before Passover would be his last night on earth before leaving this world. Just to say that much chokes me up. I want us tonight to lay aside some of our overemphasis on, oh, well, that was Yeshua, that was Jesus. He was God's son. Of course he's perfect. Of course he can do anything. He was but human at this point. Yeah. He suffered in every point just like we do. So insert yourself in that blank when it says it was his last night. And he was preparing to move toward the cross. And all of this chapter and the next four are what he did with his disciples before then. So he knew it was last night on earth before leaving this world to return to his Father's side. All throughout this time with his disciples, that's where he spends chapter 13, 14, 15. Jesus had demonstrated, I want you to hear this. Jesus had demonstrated a deep and tender love for them. What a motley crew he had. We'd all qualify by the standards by which he chose the disciples. None of them were, oh man, deep theologians. Quite the opposite. Coarse and rowdy and very, 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 very fleshly many times. He knew but they were the chosen. I bet some of you have seen that series. They were the chosen. So all throughout this time with his disciples, he had demonstrated a deep and tender love for them. But now, he longed to show them the full measure of his love. He's moments from being arrested in the garden. Moments, just a very few hours. I know what I'd have done if I was Jesus. I'd sit somewhere like I'm sitting now. I said, hey, you guys, come on. You got to form a prayer shield around me. I'm facing some tough stuff. And I need you to come to my rescue. I need you to pray that I'll be faithful to the end. Wouldn't that have been appropriate? How many of us would have done that, and I'd have gathered the whole farm together, and I don't know, I would have gone all out on that one. But yet, his goal is to show them the full measure of his love. Wonder how many of us know his full measure of love. The song kind of said it, didn't it? And so many of your testimonies were on this whole thing. I was thinking about, wow, I love the way the Holy Spirit, you know, plants a theme among us to think about. Many of you referred to the love that Yeshua had or God had. Now he longed to show them the full measure of his love. Well, how did he do that? That's what I started pondering last Friday night as I was supposed to be listening to everybody else, and I did kind of, but I was also in my treasure chest having so much fun. So what was it? It was at the Last Supper that the wine became the pledge of his love. It was at the Last Supper that he made the transition from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant as he lifted up those elements. And we did it again tonight. No longer were they remembering the blood of the Lamb as it was on the doorposts of their homes and the death angel passed over that house. No longer it was that. It was transferred into kingdom living. The pledge of his life. He was willing to sacrifice his own blood to pay the bridal price. So he emphasized that the measure of the Father's affection for him is the same measure of his love for his people. Oh my goodness, God, give us a revelation of that. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. David gives us a good example of what that love looks like in Psalms 37:4. We all know this verse, but it's very, very different out of the Passion. And I've got it written down, but I'm not finding it right now. Psalms 37:4. Oh, yeah, here it is. Boy, I've already jumped from the first page to the last. I'm still in the treasure chest, just roaming around. Here's what David said. Here's the one thing I crave. What's the one thing we're craving tonight? This is the one thing I crave from the Lord, the only thing I seek above all else. I want the privilege of living with him every moment in his house. Where's his house? Where's his house? In us. God wanted that. He planned that from the beginning. Man, I think I'd have chosen somewhere else, don't you think? He sought for that time when he'd be living in us. Finding this I love this phrase, it's a long one. Finding the sweet loveliness of his face, filled with awe. Delighting in his glory and grace. That's what the Shulamite wanted when she says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your loves are better than wine. Your loves are sweeter than wine. Why do you think Jesus wanted to demonstrate to them the full measure of his love on a night when he was hours away from being arrested and just a couple days, if that much, from being crucified. He knew that unless they had a revelation of the great, great, great measure of his love, he knew that would be the only thing that would stabilize them in those dark, dark hours ahead. Nothing else would ground them other than their being, knowing in their deepest knowers that how God felt about them. And so he demonstrated that in different ways. And in John 13, one of my favorite things about Jesus, about Yeshua, is the way he taught them and teaches us servant leadership. So I want you to kind of erase some of what you've thought about Jesus washing the disciples' feet and crawl into a culture that was so, so different than ours, and we really need to understand more about the culture in order to understand what was happening that night. Heavy. He was heavy in spirit. Heavy, heavy because of what was ahead of him. But he took off his outer robe and gathered together whatever they used for towels, got a basin of water. But here's the backdrop of all that. They were in this upper room. Jesus gave them instructions about getting the room and what it would look like and, you know, get it ready. This was a special time. His last Passover on earth with the disciples. Special time. They did not sit at the tables like we're sitting here tonight on chairs. They reclined. They were, John's feet were up in Peter's face, and Peter's feet were behind somebody else's back, and they were just, could have taken a nap, I suppose. No, they couldn't have, because the odor was so bad, they could not begin to do that. There they were with their feet in one another's laps and faces and wherever else they landed. A servant was generally employed to take care of their feet when they came in the door. We take our shoes off at the door out of courtesy so we don't drag in mud and dirt and sand here on the farm. Man, that's mild aside what those guys were walking in. They walked the same roads that the cows and the sheep and the whatever. And they plain had feet with poop on them. And they had those feet up in the faces of one another. I'm painting you the real picture. That's the real picture. That was the most lowly job of any at all. How many of you would volunteer for that if you didn't have to do it? Oh, my goodness. There they were. Stinky feet and all. And Jesus took the form of the lowliest, most needing money and guy in the world to take that job. And he did it with such love. We know what Peter said. We're not going to get into Peter tonight. But there were many other lessons in this chapter that we're not going to touch on. But Jesus demonstrated for us. Now, does that mean we wipe other people's feet if that's what God calls us to do? The idea was what is there to do and what he prompts you to do it with love and with blessing. I see that demonstrated here on the farm in so many beautiful ways. And I just so appreciate that. But that was one of the things that was happening that night. As you have seen me do this, you do it for one another. Oh, the heart of Yeshua at a time when his own heart was practically breaking. Making all kinds of racket, I know. At that same supper, Yeshua revealed who it was that was going to be betraying him. Judas left during the supper, but Jesus caused that to be divulged at that time. I said he instituted the new covenant with the wine and the bread. Peter's denial was predicted. Oh my goodness, brash, self-confident Peter. I'll never leave you. I'll never. Planning that in his own flesh he had the ability to live as he had bragged about. But it was in that full measure of love where Jesus washed their feet. He taught a new commandment in these chapters. In chapter 17, he taught a brand new commandment. He used the standard of love as a true measurement. He said, I give you a new commandment. What was new about it was that we would all care for one another as Jesus cared for us. So, in talking about the measure, let's talk a little bit more, in more depth now, about the measure of his love. How much does God really love us? Some of you, as you gave testimony, were there. You were right there. How much does the Father really love us? And what does it mean when we say God loves us the same way God loves God? It's even difficult to talk about this. It's like when Rhonda teaches on the divine dance. That's what this reminds me of. One and yet three. Three and yet one. So in these three chapters, he teaches us, with so many other things, how it is that God loves us in the same way that God loves God. So let's look at three scriptures very briefly, because if we open them up too much, they can be very confusing. In John 15, that's the vine chapter, right? Just a couple chapters after John 13, Jesus says to his disciples, I love each of you with the love with the same love that the Father loves me. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. How much do you think God loves Jesus? We could be here all night, all day tomorrow, and the next day, and we would never mind the depth of that. How much does God love Yeshua, his son? That's just boggles. We can't do it in our natural minds. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. Then I started thinking about all the ways that God showed his love for his son coming up out of those baptismal waters. This is my beloved son. I delight in him. I love him. In John 17, which is sometimes called the high priestly prayer, in verse 23, and I'm keeping these short because I want the truths to be the thing that we focus on. Yeshua says to God, you love each one of them that with the same passionate love that you have for me. Now, Jesus, first of all, in the first verse, Yeshua loves with the same love that God loved him. Now, in this verse, God's love, God loves each one of them with the same passionate love that he has for Jesus. But here's the one that we get stuck on. And I started thinking, I think that was part of my last Friday night wandering around in the treasure box. God, all that is true, but wait a minute. I so often emphasize that all of us need a greater revelation of who he is. How many of you think that's true? We need a greater revelation of who he is. But we quickly add that we need to know who he is to us. And sometimes I think we've almost emphasized that too much to where it becomes a self-focused thing. It's all about us, you know. I believe if we fully had revelation of who God is, his love for us, his love for us being the same as his love for Yeshua, Yeshua loving us as much as God loves him, I don't think we'd have to worry where we'd stand in that. It prompts us to bow down, to fear him, to love him, to be in awe at the greatness of who he is. I don't think he has to tell us, now this is who you are because I'm this. I think we would just be stunned if we really had the revelation of who he is. Somehow we've made a lot of things all about us, haven't we? A whole bunch of things. The experiences of his loves, yes, they are far better than wine. I'm trying to hook in my rummaging around. I'm trying to hook Song of Solomon with what Jesus was teaching just these few hours before he died on the cross. So I really pondered these three things, and I had to go over them and over them and over them to where there was a settling in my mind. What is it that he's really talking about? I'd like to have a bunch of volunteers, it needs to be either all gals or all guys, and you'll know why when I get you up here. So I need somebody to be God who wants to be God. not God-like, God. I'm talking about the real deal. I'm talking about God. We're God, we're not being dishonoring. We're being honoring tonight. So somebody to be God, somebody to be Yeshua, and then quite a few people, maybe six people who can be the world or who can be the believers so that we can sort of go through this at this level. Just come quickly. Yeah, good. So we know it's gonna be gals, right?
There we go.
Who do you want to be, the father or Yeshua?
Okay, come on.
Okay. Come on. Yeah. Well, you'd have to come for this. Here. Let's have the world us the over world. Here.
Oh, great, great. We don't know how to do that.
Us.
Oh, I'm the world.
Hey.
You're part of them. Okay, we have Yeshua and the Father over here. Oh, good. Good, 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 good. No, we can't have guys. We can't have guys. We can't have guys. I don't want this to fall off here. Okay. You hold those up with one hand if you can. Now, Yeshua, down there at the end, you are going to say this to this group, the world, or us. You're going to say that. Just show it as you, or after you say it, you can show it to the rest of them.
I love each one. Oh,
microphone.
Oh, yeah.
I love each one of you with the same love that the Father loves me. I'm not a man who lies. My love is proof enough. Look at the cross. Look what I've done for you. Just because I love you. Because I love my Father and I want to do his will. Thank you, Lord. I ask for help from heaven.
All right, now you're gonna say that to God. No, you're gonna say that to the Father.
Father to Yeshua?
Yep, the Father.
No, you.
Yeshua to Father.
Wow.
Well,
say it to the Father.
What a depth. You love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me.
Is that true?
Yes.
Yes. How do you feel about that?
I don't believe it.
But I've given you my only son.
He has sent me.
That was good.
Here I am. Where's Holy Spirit? Oh, the I am. I am the great I am.
Yeshua
likes to talk.
Yes.
He is the word. Who am I saying it to?
You're saying it to God.
Oh. Your love will now live in them, even as I live in them.
That's the most stunning part of all. We can understand a God who loves, a Yeshua who loves, but she just said that your loves will now live in them. What does that mean for all of us? What does that mean to each one of you? As you accept that truth, what does that mean to each one of you?
Very humbling.
Very. Very well, Jesus taught this to the disciples. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. There you go. That's right. That's the right. That's the right response. Yep. So that you may go just to kind of give us a little bit of an idea.
Thank you, man.
You're welcome. So much of what, just like Jesus, Yeshua, was preparing the disciples, was preparing his chosen ones, preparing the ones that he loved so much. He loved them with the same love that the Father loved him. Just like he was preparing them and knowing that their being grounded in the Father's love was going to be the only thing that would hold them during the dark, dark hours that that were to come. I said, God, is this ever timely? Help us. Help us, help us, help us. Help us as a farm family. Help us as believers all over the world. Help us get a hold. Help us get a hold of the love that you have for us, so that when tough times come, when offenses are easily taken, when we do without, when whatever, that we know in our knowers, but we know, but we know, but we know, we know the depth of his love, and we know that that same love doesn't just stay between God, Yeshua, and the Holy Spirit as they have that divine dance. We're invited to the intimate place in that divine dance, and that love that's within them is the same love that they have poured out into us, not just to keep us in love, but to give away. We're never given, but what it's to be, is to be something to be released to other people. God, help us in the days ahead. God, show us, show us, show us, show us, show us what it is. In fact, I'm just going to ask us to pray right now, and let the part of the focus of our prayer be, God, where is it that you're loving Jesus in a way that I'm not manifesting that? If there's a hang up, it's not with him, it's with us. If there's a blockage, we're the ones that are stopping the flow. And if I think there's not a one of us that's not convinced of the deep, deep, I just can't, don't even have the words to describe it, love that God has for Yeshua, and that deep love that Yeshua has for the Father and that they have for us. If then that is to be passed on through us, where is the problem? Is it maybe some of what we talked about last week? And a few of you had some testimonies about that. I don't remember who it was, but we'll maybe get that to that another time. But let's ask him to show us. And then I'd like responses from you. How is it, or where is it, in what ways is the Father loving the Son loving the Father, the Holy Spirit, a whole part of that mix? What are the ways that they love that we're not seeing that same thing manifest in our lives? Does that make sense to you? What is it? Because we can know perfect love before we do that, before we have prayer about that. And I'd like you to be really, really sensitive. Let's be real about this. Where's the blockage? Look at 1 John. It's John was known as whom? The disciple Jesus loved, called himself that. I just get a kick out of that. He calls himself that 5 times. So, of course, he's the one that's going to write 1 John. And 1 John is, the whole book emphasizes love, 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 love. Chapter 4, it's hard to pick out just a few verses, but I think we want to start about with verse 18. Those who give thanks that Yeshua is the Son of God live in God and God lives in them. Is that not just about the same as what we just said? We have come, listen to this. We have come into an intimate experience with God's love, and we trust in the love he has for us. And then this short little verse that all of us learned in Sunday school and didn't have a clue what it meant. God is love. That's who he is. Those who are living in love are living in God, and God lives through them. If we're not manifesting his love, we need to go back and see where did we fall off the wagon. By living in God, love has been brought to its full expression in us. Oh, how many of us are living in the fullest expression of his love? I think nobody, because there's always room for more. By living in God, love has been brought to its full expression in us, so that we may fearlessly face the day of judgment. Because all that Yeshua now is, so are we in this world. Did you hear that? All that Yeshua now is, so are we in this world. Love never brings fear, for fear is always related to punishment. But love's perfection drives the fear of punishment from our hearts. Father, we want to thank you, thank you, thank you. Behold what manner of love. Behold, sometimes that word means it's to your advantage to pay really close attention. And I think that would be a wonderful meaning for that word in this verse. I don't know if that's accurate, but it's appropriate. Behold what manner of love the Father has given us. God, we behold you tonight. With hearts that are not condemned, we behold you and we say, what manner of love is this that you have demonstrated toward us? And you're telling us in the Word that the love you've demonstrated to us, the love with which you've loved Yeshua, the love with which Yeshua has loved you, the Holy Spirit, and us, it's that same love is meant to dwell in us and given away. Father, we ask that you would open the eyes of our hearts tonight. Give us that spirit of revelation so that we can know you better. We can know the hope of the calling that you have placed within us. And much of that hope has to do with coming to terms with the measure that you love us, with the same measure that you love one another, and as far as the Trinity is concerned. So God, would you now speak to each person here? And you would show them what are the areas, where are the snags, what are the hang-ups, what is the sin? In some instances, it may be pure sin. What is it that is keeping us from abiding in that love, walking in that same love, releasing to others that same love? What is it? Where are the barriers? Convict us, Father. You showed us earlier, someone said that one of your loves is a convicting love. And how we thank you that the shed blood that we celebrated tonight, the blood is enough to forgive us and to place us in right standing. I believe there are several people who are feeling an unction to pray some more into this. Who is it? If it's you, would you just slip up and get the microphone so it can be recorded and heard by everybody? Are there some who are being led or being convicted to share something or some things that the Holy Spirit pricked you about with the question, what are the ways in which God loves Yeshua, as an example, that you're not walking in? Some of those ways in which he wants to release that same love in you, he's asking you, but for whatever reason you've resisted. We're here to agree with you in prayer. Oh, is forgiving love. It's awesome. It's keeping love.
Earlier, I wanted to share. Okay. Earlier, I thought about sharing and I figured the Lord would have me come up in his timing. And I just felt like he gave me another opportunity to express what I think was on my heart. And there's this daily surrendering, a daily dying in certain areas. And lately we've been unplugging from certain things so that the Lord can plug into us in areas of our lives, or in our own hearts or wherever. And so there's just one area in particular that I find myself constantly dying to and constantly having to surrender to the Lord, or else it just consumes me. And talk about the enemy's playground. So I really don't want to go there anymore, but in order to not go there, I have to trust the Lord and just let him keep it for me. And so while I was in the throne room, here I am surrendering to him again. And I realized that holding on to that one thing started to feel like that was it. Like it was more than the Lord that I was desiring. And I started to realize that there's still something in me that wants that more than the Lord. And it was sad to me that if I didn't have that thing, that it would bring sadness. And I felt the hope in the Lord that he was my everything start dwindling. And I was like, that's not a good place to go. And so when I realized that I had to seek the Lord to be filled with him in order to be hopeful, that's when I started to realize I have to know him. And it's just that revelation in deeper measure and deeper measure. You know, when we surrender and seek him, he fills us more and more with that love that Mim is talking about, and a selfless love. So I know I'm not really explaining this perfectly, but I know a lot of us can relate to that. So I'm going to pray into it, like you said in the first place, to pray into loving the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and knowing that it's God's love, it's the love of the Father. So, wow, I'm just...
Abba, I know you are still here. Because you love so well. And we're still here. Because you love so well. And we're still here because we're starting to love the way that you love. Mm-hmm. And we're starting to love your son the way he deserves to be loved. With your love and none other. So thank you for the stillness. Thank you for your quiet love.
I can't remember the whole point of me coming up here, but I just really felt the darts, so I just wanted to make that declaration. So thanks for inviting or giving us the invitation to pray into what the Lord is giving us. Mm-hmm. And to pour out on others. So thanks, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
The gift goes on.
Yeah.
The gift goes on and on and on. Anyone else? Yes.
So I've been, my heart is pounding. Just been sitting there, and it's just something that I've just been really just pondering with the Lord for like a few weeks. And one thing that the Lord's been revealing to me as I've been asking him, Lord, what does it mean to love Yeshua like you love him? Father, what does it mean to love your son the way that you love him? Mm-hmm. And I was just getting this picture of when Queen Esther went up to King Ahasuerus, whatever his name is, and he said, ask me anything and I will give you half of the kingdom. And but the father said, I didn't give my son half of the kingdom. I've given him everything. That's what my love means. My love looks like giving my son everything. Everything that I own, everything that's on my heart. He's given him everything, every bit of himself to Yeshua. And I just feel like the Father's heart is just asking just me that question. Are you willing to give him everything? Are you willing to give up all of it for him just like I have? Because that's how I love my son. I have given him all that he desires, all that he needs. I have given it to him. Are you willing to do the same? And it's just like that thing of like, okay, Lord, what are the things that I've been holding back? It could be past hurts, just all these just things of this world, truly. But I just feel like the Father is saying, like, the way that I love my son is by giving him all of me. Not just this earth, but everything that I've created, everything my hands have touched, everything that I've breathed life into, that is how I show my son my love. And so I just kind of felt like just coming up here and just sharing that, like, that's just, that's just one aspect of how the Father just truly shows his love to Yeshua. And I really believe that's something that he's asking some of us here tonight. Are we willing to give Yeshua everything? Everything in our pocket, everything that we touch, everything that we say, everything that we just sleep, relationships, pain, hurt, just all of it. Because if we truly desire to love Yeshua like the Father, we would be willing to. And I just been really just, I just feel just heartbreaking. So, Father, I just ask, just even now, would you teach us? Would you teach us, Holy Spirit, how to surrender it all, just like the Father has done? And not just in pain, but just willingly, here you go, Yeshua. This is yours, not mine. All that you have, all that you desire. And Lord, we know we have nothing compared to the Father God other than ourselves. So God, I just ask that you would help us. Only through your help that we're able to walk just the way that you walk, by giving your Son everything. So I thank you, Abba, that you're teaching us how to give up the things for Yeshua's sake, for love's sake. Father, I just ask that we would all become lovesick. That we would all become lovesick. That our heart's burden was just to be with you. Just to be with you, just to dwell in your presence. So I thank you, Father. Thank you for this message. In Yeshua's name.
Is there anyone else who would like to respond?
Well, that's an interesting, that's a great teaching. There's something that it speaks to me in this is that Jesus loves us, the Father loves Jesus, the Father loves the world so much that he became, if I take literally the gospel or take the Trinity, he became his son to come and die for us so that we could be saved. So God was willing to die for us to be saved. The disciples over here, on the other hand, there's 12 of them. They represent the world. We only had 4, but there is 12. And the part that I see is that there was the betrayer, there was the beloved, there was the friend, there was the warrior. All of those 12 disciples are me. I have a bit of each one of them in me. And the hardest thing it is to fathom is how this group, this one, God is one, how God can love me so much, and I have so much trouble understanding that. And that most of my life, I bump into myself, all 12 of us are banking around here, trying to figure this out, and the only thing that makes any sense to me in all of this is a simple song I learned in my treasure book. And that's a song that comes to my mind all the time. Is that Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. And I do things to stop it, yeah, and there are other things that do things to stop it, but I have to remember it's simple. It's a simple story. You know, there's going to be, we are all the disciples. We all have these problems. We all have things that we plug into, don't plug into, we don't do right, we do right, we do things right. Some of us are pretty good. Some of us are not so good, you know. But the thing is, Jesus loves me, this I know. And that's enough. Focus on Jesus' love for us. And we focus on figuring out, I guess, how to accept that. The hardest thing it is, as a giver for me, the hardest thing that I can think of is accepting gifts. It's easier to give. But accepting that love. And I guess for me, that's my biggest struggle, is accepting his love. And not beat myself up too much in the process.
Okay. I don't think there's a person here that cannot relate to that. Fred. Yes. You spoke well for all of us, Fred. You spoke well. All right. Anyone else yet? Rhonda, do you have any announcements or anything? No. Okay. So, Father, thank you. We are hugely blessed to be your sons and daughters, and then to think that you have called out that bridal company to usher in your coming, praying for your return, preparing for the wedding, preparing for whatever it is you bring into our lives, God, you are the ultimate one. You are the matchless one. We thank you so much for your incredible love, that while we'll never understand all the nuances of that love, we say, Father God, humble us to receive what it really means in the lives of each one of us to be so committed, so submitted, so surrendered. Now we ask that you go with us to our various homes and bring us, Father, together again tomorrow morning. I'm assuming, I don't know that for sure. So, God, we bless you. We thank you, thank you, thank you for your goodness in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Is it? Yeah. Oh, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
God bless you.